Yeah. What's up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Those Movie Dudes podcast. I'm out of breath because I'm overweight and just did the gritty in my living room for about 14 seconds. So that does a lot for me. But again, welcome back to the show where we talk about new releases, movie news, maybe play a little games, a couple games, have some fun along the way. At Those Movie Dudes. Let's bring in our other fellas, our other dudes. Ducky.
Yo. And if you guys want to see John do the gritty, make sure you head over to YouTube, Those Movie Dudes, all one word, and you can watch him do it in the intro.
We sure have a can. Visual.
And on Spotify. Do and attempt are different things, though.
Oh, no. I don't think you should understand. I have many, many years of experience with the gritty at this point. I know how to hit it. There was limited space, so if you do watch it, like that's not a really good gritty.
A true grittier wouldn't make excuses. Just saying.
I'm saying that you're wrong.
Is that like a Ethan and Joel Coen movie? The sequel? True grittier?
Who hit the gritty best?
Ooh, that's like the Gen Z version, like the Gen Z remake of True Grit.
Yeah, the TikTok version of True Grit.
Seconds long, yeah. And exactly. It stars fucking Logan Paul.
Oh, and Jeff Bridges.
Yes, obviously. And Hayley Steinfeld's in it too, obviously. What's going on, everybody? Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, welcome. Everybody happy? Everybody have a good day? It's Friday.
That's weird because we usually record on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays. Friday. What? That's crazy.
Friday.
Yeah, it just shows that we have nothing going on in our lives as we could just sit here 7 p.m. on a Friday as we enter our 30s talking about movies on a podcast on a bi-weekly basis.
We're going to get older, but movies are going to keep coming out. We're going to keep watching them and still be equally depressed. I don't really know, but
there was a dazed and confused reference that you probably could have done there. But
I know what you're saying, and I don't know if it's an appropriate time.
Like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
That's definitely not the reference.
No, but it's accurate to how I'm feeling right now. Sure. Do you want to just jump right into some movie news? Because I know we do have some topics here. A lot has happened in the last couple of weeks in the entertainment space.
Let's do it.
Throw it in the oven.
That was a stretch.
See, I'm glad that you're learning timing. Like that's.
This is movie news.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, what's up? Let's do it.
So this week was CinemaCon. John, explain to the good folks what CinemaCon is.
It's a place where you go to like a civic center area with like a bunch of people dressed up as various Comic-Con characters.
Nope, that's Comic-Con, but you're close.
It's CinemaCon characters, like characters that you'd only see in movies, not TV or anime or any of that. But listen, none of that bullshit. And then most of them haven't showered, but there's usually competitions to see who dressed the best, and a lot of things are revealed about film. So
once again, this is Comic-Con that you're defining. I'm talking about CinemaCon.
Right, that's what I described.
Is it just all Terry's been to CinemaCon
from the old Nordica days? CinemaCon is essentially a big convention center thing that the bunch of studios put on for the theater owners, and they basically preview a whole bunch of footage from their upcoming movies to kind of get theater owners excited about their upcoming slate. So it's like the first time you really see footage from all these movies that are coming out soon. So I mean, like Paramount, Disney, Warner Brothers, Lionsgate, they all had these panels like Monday through Thursday. And a lot got announced and a lot got previewed. So I was
interesting
to go over some of the stuff that was unveiled, because with Warner Brothers, they showed a whole bunch of footage from Furiosa. They showed a trailer for Mickey 17, which is the new Bong Joon-ho movie with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they say that movie's a sci-fi comedy, where essentially he is basically on this like suicide mission, like over and over again, just a bunch of clones of Robert Pattinson until one turns evil and then he has to fight him to the death. But apparently it's very comedic and he's putting on a very crazy, weird voice in it.
Robert Pattinson for best actor at some point. It's going to happen.
Sounds so weird, but I mean, could be interesting, but they showed the trailer for that. The trailer has not come out. They showed Twisters, which I think could be kind of a fun summer movie. Did you guys see the Joker 2 trailer? Because they premiered it at Cinema.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I think it looks really cool. Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. I'm sold.
Being described as like a jukebox musical in a way. Where like, I guess music is it's not necessarily a musical, but I guess music is like a huge part of the movie. And as the trailer kind of shows, it looks to be that case. You didn't watch the full trailer?
No, I haven't. I'm kind of keeping myself surprised.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's
I awesome. Just know the title's French. Isn't it like Joker something 2 or?
Trois, trois,
and trois. It basically means like
good and evil.
Good fortune.
Like two people bringing each other down, essentially, I guess. Or it might not be defined correctly, but basically like it combines two minds and chaos ensues or something, which is Harley Quinn and Joker. So that's on the nose kind of symbolism there. But they also showed like 40 minutes of Inside Out 2. They showed the entirety of The Fall Guy. They showed previews of Gladiator 2.
Oh,
and the way that movie is being described, because like I think we can all agree, it's like, do we really need a sequel for Gladiator?
No, God, no. Please,
but no. Ridley Scott is coming back, and that's not really saying much these days because he's very hit or miss. Sometimes he nails it, sometimes he doesn't. But the reaction out of the trailer was so interesting. I want to kind of share it with you guys here. So Paramount's Gladiator 2 preview is the first ever look, and it's a big-ass banger. Unfinished piece introduced by Sir Ridley Scott. Emotional, action, and spectacle. Gladiator 2 is a goddamn shark movie. There are sharks, crazy wild monkeys, a bloodthirsty rhino in the arena. I shit you not. Raising the stakes with wild animals. You have to see the trailer to believe it. At one point, they turn the arena into something from SeaWorld, complete with sharks swimming around ships, dropping unlucky few into shark-infested waters. Chumtastic.
That sounds horrible.
What? That sounds awesome.
For Gladiator? Dude, what is this, a fucking Sharknado or like the Meg? Like
water in a Colosseum at one point for a match. So it's apparently historically accurate because they did drop people into shark-infested waters for like a spectacle. And apparently it's Paul Mescal as the main character. Joseph Quinn kind of takes over the role for Joaquin Phoenix as like the new kind of evil guy. And apparently Paul Mescal and Pedro Pascal have a huge duel at the end. They're going to face off. And Denzel Washington plays a mentor in the movie. So, I mean, it could be. And the trailers apparently blew everybody out of the water that got to see it at CinemaCon. And I don't really have a lot of anticipation, but I think this does kind of get me excited for it. But yeah.
It just sounds so far beyond the realm of what Gladiator was. Like, I don't want a movie that's a copy of Gladiator, but this seems like so far out of left field. But I mean, I'd have to see it. But it's like, I just think of CGI garbage when you tell me that there's sharks fucking spitting people out of their mouths and shit.
The trailer really has to do its job when it does get released to sell everybody on it.
Yeah.
If it's anything as good as what people are describing coming out of the reaction from CinemaCon, I think it could be a massive hit this November. Comes out Thanksgiving. So.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah,
I don't know.
Gobble gobble, everybody.
Could be interesting. And then yeah, I mean a whole bunch of other stuff got shown, but out of all of the stuff that is coming out, what seems to be the most intriguing? Also, Five Nights at Freddy 2 got announced, which who gives a fuck about that?
A lot of people do. It's a cult movie, I know. But I also don't care. I don't think I ever watched the first one. Nope, I don't think I did.
Not interesting.
What about the, I mean, I don't know if you're about to mention it, but the trailer for Maxine came out and that looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a CinemaCon thing, but yeah, I mean, it did come out. It looks good.
Looks good. That's your reaction. You're way more excited about somebody on Twitter talking about Gladiator 2 than you are about seeing the Maxine trailer with Kevin Bacon. No, it looks so good. Just a complete change from the other two movies. It looks so insanely fun. Like, it reminded me a lot of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I just like that it feels completely different than the other two.
Yeah.
Like, I get that it's in the same line, but it's like, now it's an 80s movie. Apparently, I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Apparently it's very inspired by like the Italian horror movies from the 70s. So it's going to have that kind of feel to it. And from the test screenings for people that have seen it, they said it very much stands on its own and it's just as good as X and Pearl.
Beautiful. And it has the Night Stalker in it,
which is cool. Did you guys see that Netflix documentary on the Night Stalker?
On Richard Ramirez?
Yeah.
Night Stalker.
So disturbing. And that's interesting that he's in the movie.
He's like one of the most terrifying serial killers because he had he didn't pick out, like a lot of them have a certain type, but he didn't. You could be a young person, you could be an old couple. It didn't even really matter. He just.
Just if you left your door unlocked or your windows unlatched, he's going to come in your room.
Nobody's safe. Gotta love it.
Nope.
Terrifying.
But thankfully, he was caught by civilians.
Right, so yeah.
Tracked him down and tackled him in the street and performed a citizen's arrest. And
so I wonder if this will take a good Quentin Tarantino approach where they just completely massacre him in the streets instead. And just
that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Mia Goth has something to do with it, which from the sounds of this film, it kind of, or at least from watching the trailer, it looks like that's going to be a big storyline. So,
yeah. All right, well, since you guys don't give a fuck about CinemaCon, the Cannes Film Festival just announced their lineup, and that's next month. And so the Cannes Film Festival, they basically showcase a whole bunch of movies that are going to come out from now to possibly next year. And a lot of these movies do get some Oscar buzz. Do you guys know any of the movies that are going to be premiering next month?
No, but I would love to hear some reactions.
Okay, well, why don't I do that?
Thank you.
So I'm just going to list like some of the big movies because there's a ton of movies that are going to be premiering, but these are kind of like the most intriguing. So one of the ones that's going to, I don't know if it's going to open it, but it's going to debut. It's Furiosa. That's going to debut in early May. So you'll see some reactions. This one's interesting. Megalopolis, Francis Ford Coppola's epic that he self-funded. It's probably his last movie that he self-funded by selling a whole portion of his like wine that he has. It's a $120 million production budget, and he wants $100 million for marketing. And I've heard the movie is just like
bonkers.
Like you see, it's like hard to market. Like it's just probably going to be a bomb. Like it's sounding kind of like on the scale of like Beau is Afraid or Babylon. In terms of just how much they're trying to do here, but
yeah,
not much is known about it. The cast is interesting. It has Adam Driver, Forrest Whitaker, Lawrence Fishburne, Shia LaBeouf, Aubrey Plaza's in it, Dustin Hoffman's in it. So, I mean, you got some Chloe Fineman's in it. What the fuck? Anyway, so like a whole bunch of random people are in this movie. Natalie Emanuel, Giancarlo Esposito. So
Grace Vanderwall's in this. What the fuck?
So
Kaylee Spaney.
No, she's not. So that's going to debut. The movie doesn't have a distributor yet. It's kind of in a not really a bidding war because they premiered it to a bunch of studio executives and nobody seemed interested, which is kind of
interesting.
It's in limbo.
Sit there.
Because they're like, you made a movie that's so weird and so fucking out there. Like, I don't know what we're going to do with it. And that's the case right now. So
it's like Francis Ford Coppola's swan song and nobody gives a shit. That's sad.
I don't know. So we'll get some reaction. I'm excited that it's going to debut in the Cannes Film Festival because you'll see reactions, reviews from it, and you'll maybe get a better sense of what's going to happen to it later on.
How long is it supposed to be?
I guess it's just over 2 hours. It's not like terribly long.
I was expecting like a three-hour epic.
I guess it's not, but I guess the movie does have like just like random fucking scenes. So we'll see what happens. So that's gonna debut. Wow. We have
John Voight's in it, so at least we
throw it in the oven.
There you go. You have Yorgos Lanthimos's next movie, Kinds of Kindness. That trailer was awesome. That came out.
I have no idea what it's about.
Kind of a mythology. Huge cast. I mean, Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Han Chow, and Hunter Schafer, John.
Oh my God.
So there you go. So that'll be interesting. We have David Cronenberg's next movie, The Shrouds, with Vincent Cassell, Diane Kruger, and Guy Pearce. Don't know much about it. You have Paul Schrader's next movie with Richard Gere and Jacob Elordi and Uma Thurman.
Oh, Jacob Elordi.
Paul Schrader did like First Reformed and some other stuff that's come out. He wrote Taxi Driver. And then you have Kevin Costner's Western epic Horizon, the American saga debuting. This is the movie that he wrote in the 80s, tried to get it made in 2003, has just struggled to get this movie developed and made. And he has four movies in this universe prepped and ready to go. And this is going to debut in theaters in June. And then part two is coming out in August. So it's like 2 months and you get like the next one. It's fucking weird.
This man cannot get away from this genre.
Oh no, he loves the Western movies.
Dude, like I get it. Like it's Kevin Costner. He's got a crazy mustache and he's looks great on the prairie, but man,
he needs to do a baseball Western. Like that would be his magnum opus would be like Wild Wild West. Oh, let's start a baseball league.
Yeah. Like maybe the origin of baseball altogether. Like baseball is really old. So maybe he invented
it. From the 1800s, man. They could do it. Kevin Costner could do it.
So a two-part theatrical event that's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And I mean, have you guys seen the trailer at least? I mean, I'm sure John has. With AMC
I didn't even know this was a thing.
No trailers any of these movies you're talking about. Have no trailers.
Okay. I will say the trailer looks exactly. It looks like the cinematic epic version of 1883.
Okay.
It just looks like that, but with different characters, different storylines, and whatnot. But after just watching 1883, it just looks so familiar.
What's it called again?
Chronicles of Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1.
All shot on location, shot digitally, which I think it could have been really cool if it was on film, but who cares?
Yeah, because nothing makes the West, like if it was shot on film, it would look.
Yeah, you can have it super great.
Too expensive. And with his ambition of making this be a two-part epic, the probably film was too expensive for that. So we'll see what happens.
He's got the fucking money.
But like if it debuts, when it debuts in 4 weeks and we hear the first reaction, and if it's like, this is garbage, that's going to suck. But I bet it'll be pretty epic. I'm sure people will like it. So
all right.
We'll see what happens. So far, we have Furiosa, Megalopolis, Kinds of Kindness, The Shrouds, David Cronenberg, O Canada, Paul Schrader, Horizon, Kevin Costner, Sean Baker's next movie, which is about New York sex workers. And then you have Andrea Arnold's next movie with Barry Keoghan. And she did American Honey and Fish Tank and Cow, which people really love.
Fish Tank and Cow?
I've seen that, American Honey, which is, it's good. But there's a whole bunch of other shit. There's a Selena Gomez movie that's also debuting. There's a Nicolas Cage movie that's debuting called The Surfer. So, I mean, you got a whole bunch of cool
stuff.
But what we've talked about so far, if you could only see one, you only have one ticket to Cannes, which movie is it, Nate?
I
know. I'm going to throw a curveball in there. I want to see Francis Ford Coppola's last theater performance.
It's the most intriguing.
Or his last. But then it would be cool to see Furiosa, but I'm going to see it anyway. But like if I wanted to see it at Cannes with like Francis Ford Coppola in attendance, probably his daughter, his whole crew, I would want to see that. Just even if it's not that great, it's just his last big epic production I want to see.
With no distribution.
In France. I've never been to France.
I thought it was in Germany.
I'm going to hurt you.
I was probably going to say the same thing just because like Furiosa too, it's I'm going to see it anyway. It comes out on my birthday. Like I'll easily see it at AMC. It'll have wide release. So I feel like Horizon, that seems like something that'll be on like fucking Paramount Plus when it gets distribution.
June 28th and then part two, August 16th.
Like it's in, it says only in theaters.
Warner Brothers. This is a Warner Brothers movie. Yeah.
That's crazy to me. I guess that one, just because it seems like it could be terrible. Who knows what it could be? I don't know. And also, I liked Babylon. So if that's what it's being compared to, I would enjoy some of it.
And I know it's getting a wide release literally like a month later when it debuts. But if I couldn't pick Megalopolis, I would do Kinds of Kindness just to see Yorgos debut in his new movie, probably in attendance, and just seeing what that movie is going to be. I'm very intrigued. But I mean, it would be cool to see Cronenberg and Schrader's movie. But those movies, Cannes is the famous film festival where there's a lot of booze and walkouts and vocal reactions to stuff, and like 13-minute standing ovation applauses after the movie
ends.
It's insane.
Bizarre.
It's ridiculous.
After
but
two
it's
part- minutes, I'm sitting down. I'm like, okay, go ahead.
There's video of on YouTube of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood premiere, and it's the cameraman just getting so close in on Margot Robbie, Brad Pitt, Leo, Quentin, as just like all the applause is happening, and the actors and are just so uncomfortable. They're just like,
thanks. Like, okay, can we go now?
And they're just like,
thanks. Movie's over.
It's so awkward, and it goes on for so long. It's great. Look up that, but yeah, I would go Kinds of Katniss. I'm curious to see what that's going to be, but
that'd probably be my second choice.
Emma Stone's third Oscar.
That would be insane. Ambitious.
Maybe supporting could happen, but she'd have to deliver a fucking hell of a performance for that. And you also have I just want to mention this real quick. There's a movie coming out called The Apprentice, with Sebastian Stan playing a young Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Wait, like the show?
I should play Trump.
Directed by the guy who made a film a couple years ago called Border.
Yeah, like the Swedish movie.
Yeah.
About, like, not Neanderthals, but, like,
inbred
border security. Yeah.
Or something.
It's very, it was weird. I meant to go see it, and then it didn't do well, and so I was like,
I'm going to show you guys the first official image of Sebastian Stan as Donald Trump.
I hope it's just Donald Trump.
So if you're on video right now on Spotify or YouTube, you can just load that up right now. I'm going to show it right here, and there you go. That is Sebastian Stan as young Donald Trump, and Jeremy Strong from Succession playing some other role. But yeah,
he doesn't even look like Trump.
Well, I mean, he doesn't look like Sebastian Stan. I will say that.
I'll get behind it. I mean,
his eyes are too open.
Who's that?
That is not Sebastian Stan.
That's look, he's pursing his lips, kind of like Donald
Trump.
He's
got the hair and makeup these days, you know. Oh my God.
I mean,
like, what? Oh my God, that's Sebastian Stan. That looks
See that? He sticks out. It's the eyes.
So we'll see. That movie is going to be debuting at the Cannes Film Festival. This director he's shown a lot of intrigue or interest with a lot of people. Holy Spider came out last year, which I heard is really disturbing.
Oh, he did A Last of Us. Border. Two episodes of Last of Us. Okay.
Two episodes of The Last of Us. He's a big upcoming director. So we'll see what happens here. It's the story of young Donald Trump starting his real estate business in the 70s and 80s in New York with the helping hand of his infamous lawyer, Roy Cohn.
It's going to be so divided.
That's great that they think people care about that.
It's going to be so people are going to go see it. People are going to say it's the greatest movie ever made.
There's no way. There's no way.
I guarantee
the audience score on
that's
probably going to be like 100%. I guarantee you.
Audience 100, critics 0, because
they're
gonna
come out to play.
Where we're at now.
Who knows?
The biggest divide of all time.
But it's like, do we really want this movie coming out during this election year? But let's not get political.
It's calculated.
I think it makes it that much more fun. Like, there's a movie that can convince you to vote.
Just gotta stay offline for 3 months here.
I am gonna go see it day one.
Well,
just so I can do this the entire time. I just want to do this the entire time.
All right.
Unbearable.
That's it for movie news. That's all I got for you guys. Cannes Film Festival and CinemaCon. A lot of previewing the upcoming slate of some movies that are coming out. Some big summer blockbusters. Some potential Oscar contenders. So, I think we got some good movies coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we're getting, we're through the shitty part of the year, which, to be fair, there were a lot of good movies that came out during the first few months of the year, but I'm on that road to 160, so I gotta hit them all.
Speaking of some new release movies, I want to just dive into some new release movie reviews.
I suppose we could do that. I can just leave. That's fine. I'll leave.
It looks like you're standing on hot coals while like furiously putting on and taking off your sunglasses.
Here's the thing. I need more space. It's too much of a confined area to do like the gritty effectively. So like I am struggling. So don't hold that against me. That's all I'm saying.
That made me gritty my teeth.
You shouldn't do that. You have to go to the dentist.
I haven't been to the dentist in a long time, so I should probably do that.
Highly recommend it. You'll regret it later in life. Okay. So yeah, you guys ready to talk about some new releases? Did we all go to the theater the past 2 weeks? Or Yes, I did.
I saw A-Film.
A-Film. Okay, that's one. Spencer, did you make it to the theater?
I did, because I just resubscribed to MoviePass.
Oh, shameless plug?
No, not a sponsor. So
I want to be sure.
But... I want to get out to the theater more, and it's the theater, the only theater that's allowing me to use theater or this movie pass is one that's like 10 minutes away, so it's perfect. So I'm gonna try to get more new release movies under my belt, even if I don't care about them, which is nice because I hate spending money on movies that I know I'm not gonna like. John,
well, I'm not doing that either. So I
you have AMC A-list, so you go see like Kung Fu Panda 3 and like
four. I saw the fourth one. I haven't even seen the first three. But you know, I'm with you.
I saw the Nun 2 twice because I missed the first 5 minutes. Like that's a bad use of money.
But like, you know, I'm paying $24 a month and I'm seeing 2 to 3 movies a week, which is the maximum that's allowed on AMC A-list. Right. So I am their worst customer in reality because they're losing money with me. Except well, I do buy concessions every time. So yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I did see 1, 2, 3, 4 movies in theaters since our last episode.
Okay, I saw one.
Yeah,
same, because I can only drive an hour to get there.
Do you guys want to just dive into Monkey Man?
Yeah,
do it. Monkey Man. See, that doesn't even look like a monkey. My gritty is better than that monkey impression. So Monkey Man. I guess Spencer didn't see it. I thought maybe he, no, I guess.
Oh, he did see it. He just wanted to see us go back and forth.
No, I did not see it, but I'm curious to check it out. No, I haven't seen it. But with now that I have MoviePass, I would go see it, but I haven't done it.
Well.
Okay. Well, we can't talk that much about it.
No, I think that like going into Monkey Man, I didn't really know anything about it other than Dev Patel being the writer. I don't know if he wrote it, but director. Lead actor, he did write it as well.
Yeah, I believe so.
And this basically being like his baby, it was compared to John Wick. And I even think the movie makes direct references to John Wick. I don't know if you remember that scene, but there is one scene where he's like buying a weapon and the guy's like, this is the one John Wick had. He's like, oh my God, okay.
So John, I think you don't know anything about me, do you? Because I've never seen John Wick.
Huh? That's insane.
We talked about this so many times.
Damn. Well, I mean, okay. Well, I guess you don't have that as a reference, but that's probably a good thing for watching this movie because I'm going in like thinking of like some of the best action movies of all time, like The Raid and honestly John Wick. And to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with this movie because of the expectations I had going in.
Yeah, that's why you can't go in with those expectations, because it's going to completely like change. Because you're expecting these grand and elaborate one-shot fight scenes. This one isn't that. This is gritty, like really gritty underground, like very bad much underground shit in a very like not terrifying area, but intimidating. Like this, the whole place that he's at. It's just I felt so claustrophobic the entire time because there's just people everywhere
screaming at you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that there were a lot of good parts about this movie for me. I think that the story, like the backstory that they kind of list, like they give you bits and pieces throughout the movie and it sort of like slowly unfolds and you get more and more of like, why is he doing this? I guess like, why is he the Monkey Man, I guess. But for me, like the thing that took me out of the movie so much was the camera work. And that's not something that usually bothers me, but I was so taken back by the excessive use of the shaky cam. Like I really was. And like action movies, sure, they do that, but to me, I think that they do, like, good action movies show a little bit of restraint with that. Like, they have the one takes, and this movie was just like cut, and then just crazy shaky cams to the point where I had to, like, close my eyes at times. Wow. So that, I mean, truly took me out of the film as much as I wanted to like it.
Damn, I was so sucked in, I didn't even notice it. I was sucked into the story and who his character was, and I like that they slowly kind of let you in on what his whole agenda is, because for like the first 30 minutes of the movie, I was like, I don't know what his motive is. It's very vague.
Yeah.
And so they start hinting at some of the things, and they start showing you the same characters over and over again. And you start to piece it together and be like, oh, this is who he's looking for. This is how he's doing it. And they hint at it the whole time. Like, if you see a crown or like a lion or something like that, you know, it ties into the story.
Yeah.
Because they focus right in on it. Like, what, but there's also some really funny moments that almost pulled me out of it, but I did laugh. Like, where he's trying to jump out the window and he braces himself and he's like, I'm going to jump out this window to evade these people. And then he hits the window and just falls to the ground. He's like, okay, shit, down the stairs.
Yeah, because like that, I think scenes like that is where it kind of separates his character from John Wick a little, because John Wick is like, you basically like not immortal, but
he
like
feels
basically a superhero,
like a Terminator, like you can't do anything to him, where this character gets the shit kicked out of him,
right
but he's not, progressively moves forward,
he's being,
he feels like
forward by revenge, and which I guess John Wick is, whatever, I'm gonna stop comparing it to John Wick, but like his revenge I think goes a lot deeper than that of John Wick.
Oh,
just because his backstory is so insanely fucked that I, you know, once it's finally revealed, you can fully understand this character's motives as to why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and I like the tie-in of the name Monkey Man, the god of Hanuman.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That whole story. And the fact that as he fights underground, he's got the mask and you just see his character change. Like, at first he's doing it just to get by, and then it starts to unravel. Like, oh, I see this person. Why do I remember him? And then it starts to unwind. And his transformation as a character later on, complete 180, because then he's like a full on killer.
Yeah.
Not just a guy who's trying to get revenge, now he's a full-blown killer.
I do like the whole like infiltration process, that he kind of infiltrates this underground, I think it's like a sex trafficking operation from the looks of it. They didn't like
probably a bit of everything. There's probably like drugs, arms, definitely sex trafficking, and a lot of, just, you kind of have that staple of this one group of people control the whole area. So they're like they're the top guns of it.
Tell you what,
running everything.
It made me never want to go to India. I'll say that. Dangerous. And I've heard such like some of the awful things that happen there. This movie definitely doesn't shy away from, I guess, you know, some of the things that have happened to people in that country, but it definitely doesn't make me want to go there anytime soon.
No, but then again, this is showing a very small percentage of a population that is probably completely exaggerated. Like, I'm sure some of this stuff does happen, but to this extent, I'm not sure. But then again, it's a movie. We're supposed to subvert our expectations. But Dev Patel just puts on a performance of his life where he puts all his chips on the table in order to finish his story, basically, like the story of the Monkey Man that he's portraying. And you just see it in his eyes. Just, it will click, and you know that this guy will not let anything stop him, no matter what. And there is a point in the movie where it slows down almost like to a dramatic stop. But then when you see what it's for and what he gains from it, it's like, okay, he's really transformed now. To, his name was Bobby. He just told him, oh, my name's Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay, to the Monkey Man, as you see here. And it's just, I low-key love this movie, just because the fact that he wrote it, directed it, starred in it, it's got him all over it. and it looks like it was done by a master to me, with style, but not necessarily over substance. Like, it had good bits of both.
Yeah, because like the story isn't like the deepest story you've ever seen, because like I feel like it's reminiscent of a lot of other stories I've seen in action films, but it is a very dark story that they go about doing. I think it needs another viewing, because for me, I feel like sometimes with these movies, when they have like slow parts, I get taken out of it. And then again, it was just the way they film the action scenes. Just, I don't know. It seemed like it just took me out of it. The way that it was too shaky. I just didn't like how they filmed it. Like, there were some cool kills and stuff. Like, they were good action scenes, but it just didn't work for me. So,
okay.
I was a little disappointed.
I'll let you start us off then, because I feel like I'm going in a more positive direction.
Yeah. I initially gave it a 3 out of 5, which isn't bad. I truly think that my expectations kind of brought it down for me. I think that there's a big possibility that it at least goes up to a 3.5 on a second viewing, but yeah, no, I was a little bit disappointed, unfortunately.
So I guess it's probably a good thing that I haven't seen the John Wick movies, because I went into this with no expectations. I might have seen like a short, like 30-second trailer that just popped up on YouTube. Yeah. But I low-key love this one, and it's 2 hours long, but to me it flew by, just because I thought the pacing was really well. Even when it gets to that slow point, it pays off. So I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow. Okay.
It might be my favorite movie of the year right now.
That's...
Like, I put it up there with Dune. I like Dune a lot for specific reasons tying into the first. But this one, as far as originality and coming from Dev Patel, I'm giving it high praise. So I'll go 4.5. If I watch it and like it that second time, maybe it could be a little 5.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
But for now, 4.5.
You think it could be a Benji movie for you?
I think this movie's got the magic.
I've got the magic in me.
I hate this so much.
I wanted to. He said Benji, and I was like, okay, how can I do this? And then
it's fine. You're probably the only two people in my life, I mean, Nate especially, that knows what that is. So I'm glad we could do that here together tonight.
I can't wait to see it. I am very excited. I mean, maybe I'll see it when it's still in theaters for 17 credits of MoviePass, but awesome. We'll see what happens.
Is awesome. That a lot? 17 a lot point? A lot of points?
No, I got 72 credits.
Okay. Why'd you say 17 then?
No, that's how much it costs if I go see like a matinee showing.
Oh, that's how much each. Okay.
The system is so strange.
So like Civil War yesterday was 30 credits because it's a high in demand new release movie. So there was a little extra, even though I had the entire road to myself. But speaking of Civil War, do you want to get into this movie here?
Yeah, we're not talking about the Chris Evans Captain America Civil War, right? We're talking about the other.
Correct.
One.
There was no Captain America, no Iron Man in this movie. This is okay. The Alex Garland.
They probably could have used Iron Man in this movie.
That would have helped the situation.
Yeah. But instead, here we are talking about Alex Garland's third film.
Fourth
film. What's
Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men.
And Men.
Civil War. And he also did an entire TV series on Hulu called Devs with Nick Offerman.
Oh, no wonder Nick Offerman is in this movie. My goodness.
For 5 minutes.
For a very short amount of time.
Sorry, Nate has not seen this movie. And this is Friday. Like the 7 p.m. showing's like just started. So like a lot of people have not seen this movie. So we're not going to get into too many spoilers of this movie. Just kind of like initial out of theater reactions from John and I here. Because Nate,
I might go see it on Sunday. I might go see it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want our opinions or whatever to influence anything.
Feel free to take a bathroom break if you want, Nate.
Free to take a bathroom break.
Yeah.
Up to you.
He's going to listen. Okay. Well.
All right.
Civil War, Alex Civil Garland, War. Kaylee Spaney, Kirsten Dunst, and the other actor who was did have a big part in the film. What was his name?
I forget his name. The Spanish
he reminded
actor?
Me of what's that?
Agent Pascal.
No,
reminded me of him a lot.
He reminded me of the guy in the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie who always had the camera, and he was like, he would like jump in front of the
Hank Azaria.
Yeah, he was like the Hank Azaria. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I was so hyped for this movie. This is one of the movies that I'd seen the trailer for probably a dozen times or more, because it plays every single time I go to the theater, and it's the only trailer I did not get tired of. It looks just so unique, and just the idea of a civil war taking place in modern day United States is a horrifying and believable concept. And this movie kind of jumps into it from such a probably the only perspective where you'd be able to see the warfare that we see in this movie. The photographer, like the warfare photographer, is just crazy, because you are literally a fly on the wall for the battles in the streets. It's not exactly what I expected it to be, because I guess the trailer doesn't like go right out and say, hey, you're following a photographer this whole movie, but it was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, because this movie, the marketing of this movie kind of showcased like this is going to be a big action movie, Civil War, America versus America, like the nation split and divided. And people keep on saying, it's like, oh, it's like a near future America, and this like could happen. I think you even mentioned that like 10, 20 seconds ago. At any time, because, okay, so this movie, that whole thing is the backdrop. The focus is the war photographer and that kind of moral and ethical code of that job and that profession. And it's their road trip in hell trying to get to DC. It's very much reminiscent, and it pays a lot of homage to Apocalypse Now. But the whole like notion of like, oh, this is like, this could happen, I don't fucking buy it. And any time they would kind of show that in this movie, I just thought it was dumb as fuck. I couldn't get behind the concept really of the whole Civil War. But I loved the photojournalist aspect of this movie. It was phenomenally well done, with the editing too. Very well done.
Editing was phenomenal.
I don't want to spoil like how they do it, but it was just very, very cool.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't have to say specifics.
And the performances were phenomenal. I mean, I think Kaylee Spaney honestly is the next superstar. You mentioned in the text that she's probably going to get an Oscar the next 10 years. I mean, she was so close with Priscilla. That honestly could have happened. She got some other nominations for that movie, but her character is so stupid in this movie, but her performance is phenomenal. So it's...
This is exactly how a 23-year-old ambitious photographer would act in these circumstances, outside of maybe a few moments. I don't know. But yeah, I loved her in this movie. I didn't know she was going to be the lead. I always thought it was Kirsten Dunst.
Well, it is kind of Kirsten Dunst as the lead, but she is a prominent role for sure. Yeah.
I think Kaylee Spinney seems like more of the emotional focus. Like you are with her along the way. But yeah, Kirsten Dunst obviously is a very big part in this movie. The scene with Jesse Plemons, which is in the trailer, you see him with the red glasses. That scene was I think it was a turning point in the movie. And I will only say this because that's Kirsten Dunst's husband in real life.
I forgot about that mid scene, and then I remembered. I'm like, they're married in real life. Like,
because Jesse Plemons is so good at playing these, either like a really hilarious character, or in this case, one of the most fucked up characters in the whole movie. Like
psychopath, yeah.
He is phenomenal, man. I love him. He is amazing. He's horrifying. It kind of was so like just reminiscent of what you would think a person of that background, I guess, would act like. He's wearing these weird red sunglasses, like he just came from the shooting range. Like, who is this individual? It was just horrifying and really great at the same time.
I mean, that's probably that scene. It's very much into that in the trailer, and it's 100, like you said, it's kind of like a turning point in the movie, and it definitely is. But it's also like the most tension filled scene I have witnessed in so long, and especially in a theater. Like, I was just on the edge of my seat, what the fuck is gonna happen? And it was just really well done, building the tension for that. So yeah, I mean, like, there were some things that I really loved about this movie, like with the editing. And the performances and the cinematography was great. But at the end of the day, I did kind of find the movie a bit hollow. It was a little empty. Like, as I was driving home, I was like, I don't know if I really got exactly what I was thinking I was going to, or hoping I was going to get with it. And I didn't really want the movie to like pick a side or anything like that. And I'm glad it didn't. But I also just like, I don't know, maybe it needs a rewatch as well, because like it is wildly different than what the marketing is making it out to be. But it's, I don't know. Like it felt a little empty.
Like, was it the lack of world building? Because like you do,
I think it was like a lack of character development. I mean, because like I think I wanted to know just a bit more about them, because like they were so, I was so fascinated by this, what they were doing. So I don't know. I looked
at it kind of like Zombieland, where like these characters don't need to know a lot about each other, and they don't want to know a lot about each other. So that's why we don't know a lot about these characters.
No, but I think some character decisions just kind of pissed me off, and it took me out of it. And also, I mentioned in that text with you, just like the thumb and location. I was out of it time, because I had been there for a full week. But
the suspension of disbelief was gone for you.
A little bit. I was like, oh my God, like I had a cup of ramen right by that sack of tires. Like, that was ridiculous.
No wonder people that work on set, I feel like they don't appreciate like movies as much anymore. I feel like, because they just, they see everything.
I can 100% attest that when I was working on movies, I did not want to watch movies when I got home. Damn, did not brutal. Care.
Yeah. Too bad.
It took until COVID to hit for me to get back into them.
Thank God for COVID. What?
Civil War. I really highly recommend it for sure. It's Alex Garland. He's made another really intriguing movie that sparks a lot of discussion. And I think you mentioned in your review, like he makes these kind of like near future worlds where like if something isn't addressed or something.
What did I say? I said the horrors of the future are front and center. And I don't know what I say. I don't know what I said, but essentially it's right here in front of me, but I can't read because I'm trying to find the exact word that I know what you're referencing. It makes it feel as if this is like a very, very near future scenario that could happen. Essentially, it does a really good job at creating a grounded version of a civil war in the United States. So what'd you give it ultimately?
Right now it's at a 3.5 out of 5. Okay. It's closer to a 4 than a 3 for me. I think I was just taken out of it a little bit with some of the character decisions and some of the choices in the third act, but regardless, it's really good and I'd recommend it.
There is one very, I now that I think of it, there is one very dumb thing that Kaylee Spaney does that I'm like, what? Why?
Whatever.
Did you do that? Either way. I really, really like this movie. I thought it's dark. There was actually a mom behind me that brought her like 10-year-old to the movie. And during the scene I was like, first of all, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know it was going to be as violent as it was, but like behind me, I just hear the kid go, when Jesse Plemons does that. Like that. And she was like, you need to leave right now. You go sit in the lobby. That's this kid. I'm like, yeah, for good reason. You're a fucking terrible mom for bringing your kid to this movie, because it is brutal. But I had a great time. It's really good filmmaking. A really unique kind of perspective with the photographers. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yes. Oh, interesting. I saw it at a 4.5 earlier today. It went down a half a star.
Don't worry about it.
Interesting. I think I kind of want to get a little further into that. Like, what's going on with that?
I think it's because I wanted more, which usually isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I did want to see more of what is to come here.
Oh, like, wow. This is embarrassing.
Okay, something like that.
I just had to switch out the ticker. Monkey Man's been tickering the entire time.
Oh, boy. Notice. My bad.
Anyways, 7.7 IMDb, 82% Rotten Tomatoes, 80% audience.
Not split whatsoever.
This is his last directorial feature. We'll see what happens there. I don't buy it for 1 second. We'll see what happens.
Really good movie.
Good movie, for sure.
Yeah.
Go and see it.
My number 2 of the year right now behind Late Night with the Devil. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nate, you saw Late Night and the Devil. Did you like it? Like,
I was disappointed.
Oh no!
Wow.
Yeah,
it comes out on Shudder next Friday. I'm gonna watch it.
Darn it.
Yeah, I just it was right. just it, I was hoping it'd be scarier.
No. It's not about that. It's not about that.
But it didn't do anything special, really. I was like, oh,
interesting.
Maybe it was
I still liked it though. I think I gave it like a 3.
Oh, that's low for you though.
And I like Civil or Monkey Man, and I gave it a 3. So
we'll see.
A three for Nate though is like a D.
No, well,
he's not wrong because I tend to give even bad movies good grades sometimes.
Yeah, you hardly unless it's like below a 3.
It's very rare I'll see like a 2.5 or lower from Nate, and when it is, it's a special occasion. Mm-hmm. It's usually he writes something about it too.
Like, and or I'll send you guys a message and be like, "I just saw this. Don't see it."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And John had already seen it 3 weeks before in theaters on Mystery Movie Monday at AMC. So,
speaking of, you have seen another movie that comes out next Friday, April 19th. This movie comes out, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare with Henry Cavill and Alan Richardson and Isaiah Gonzalez.
Directed by The Covenant's Guy Ritchie. This is Guy Ritchie's next directorial feature with Henry Cavill. And like you said, the guy that plays Thad from Blue Mountain State. It plays this like hilarious gay like hitman guy. Like it's like he loves killing people, and it's this movie was not like the Sisu of this year, but like it was a lot funnier than Sisu. But like if you love watching Nazis get killed in creative ways, go see this movie, because this movie was absolutely hysterical and fun, and I had an absolutely phenomenal time at the theater watching this. Henry Cavill's hilarious. It was just a really, really fun time. I think that the fact that this is based on a true story, knowing that this took place, is also great, because without this happening, we might be German right now. So check this out just for the historical elements alone.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know much about this movie. I just thought it was a Guy Ritchie action movie that's coming out next week with a big cast.
Nah, historically, what these guys were able to pull off in real life was a turning point in World War II.
I actually did see, I did hear that it was based on a true story and this actually did happen. And I saw Henry Cavill on like a press run for this movie say that like this guy kind of inspired the character of James Bond.
Yeah, like
Ian Fleming kind of got the idea from this guy,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting, I guess, because, I mean, who would have thought? But
I don't know if I really see James Bond, but like he is very ingenuitive with his just approach. He's very suave, I suppose. So, yeah, I could see it. And they're all English. So
it looks like a funny version of the movie Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, a little bit. Or like a very comedic kind of like Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much what it was like, or like right. The Expendables, but not bad. So
interesting. Well, because this is part of your AMC screen and scene where you basically get to go and see a movie where you don't know what's gonna play. You mm-hmm. just have to go into the theater. There's a lot of speculation. They lie about the runtime. They lie about a bunch of other things, but they drop little hints every now and then. But you kind of figure it out. And you were in the theater, sitting down with your Twizzlers, thinking that you were about to see. Challengers,
yeah,
with really Zendaya. You had your tennis skirt on and everything, but mm-hmm. instead, Henry Cavill and his sweaty biceps show up on screen.
Yep,
and I predicted that. I did. I said I think it could be the Guy Ritchie movie, and you're like, "Yeah, Challengers."
No, my god, you said it after like 4 other guesses. You said it could be.
Once I realized that you were seeing AMC, not Regal, and I actually predicted Regal correctly. It was The Long Game, the Mexican baseball movie. I was correct on that. I'm glad you didn't go to that, and you went to the screen unseen. Once I researched that, and you're like, "Oh, it's Challengers." I said, "Oh, but it could be the Guy Ritchie movie," and you were determined that it was Challengers. And I was like, "Okay, well, but don't count out Guy Ritchie."
To understand that with film stuff, 1 out of 10 times, maybe I'll be right. I want it to be right.
You just have to hold on to it. Exactly.
I want it to be right so bad. And the second
I wanted you to be right too. Because you get to see Challengers.
But it was a good time. No, it was a really good time. I would highly recommend checking this one out. I think it's super enjoyable. And if you want to watch Nazis get murdered, this is how you do it.
Cool.
So
In a theater.
And it's R-rated. Like it's a bloodbath. So
Nate, have you seen anything else recently? I've just kind of
as far as like new release stuff.
Maybe Yeah.
No, like I've watched some like 2023 movies that I never got to see. But nothing really new, just because I want to go to the theater to see stuff.
So I guess Late Night with the Devil is probably the most other recent one that you saw. You didn't like it. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I would say out of 2024 movies, it would be those two. Because like I've watched Dream Scenario, Zone of Interest and stuff since then. So just trying to watch some of those ones. But I'll pick up on 2024. Mm-hmm.
No, wait until
if it pops on streaming. I'm just exactly. I don't know if I'll like it. So
I mean, you said you'll see Civil War, and yeah, that may yes. I think it's worth seeing in theater. The sound design is great on that, but
it's a long drive to the theater, Nate. So if anything coming out in the next couple of weeks, like I would see Civil War, 100%.
Like if this says anything,
and Challengers.
I've only seen 8 2024 movies this year.
Damn, I think I just hit 31, which is
A24 really is on its way to their first ever number one debut at the box office with Civil War. They've never had a movie debut number one at the box office.
Everything Everywhere?
Nope. No. That was a movie that started so low and just fucking grew and grew and grew and grew. I think it maybe got up to number one at one point, but it never debuted at number one. Like opened up for a new release. And A24 says they're trying to get into more kind of mainstream, bigger movies with still the art house aesthetic behind it. So,
okay.
I think Civil War is a good testament to that. It definitely has a lot of filmmaking behind it. So,
yeah. It was definitely Alex Garland's biggest, grandest venture so far. And I do like how he's been tackling all these like futuristic concepts like Annihilation, Ex Machina, Civil War. It's all about the end of the world.
Men.
Fucking everything he does about the end of the world. Men, maybe not so much, but
more spiritual in that one.
Sure. It's the end of somebody's world, that's for sure. What do you got for us, Ducky? You got another something?
No, I haven't seen anything else. I saw Snack Shack, which I think no one else has seen. John, you saw it.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of like a John Hughes summer move, like kind of coming of age movie where they're just having summer jobs, their first loves, there's conflict, button heads. It's a little generic, some weird choices in the third act, but the movie's funny, really well done with the directing and the editing. Definitely seemed like there was a voice behind it. There's like a lot of passion behind the project. It was just a ton of fun. So I highly recommend it. If Snack Shack does pop up somewhere on like Netflix or Prime, definitely watch it. It has the guy from the lead character who plays Steven Spielberg in The Fablemans. I forget his name. Gabriel something.
Iglesias.
Yeah, nope. He's great in the movie. He's so funny. I think he is going to have a huge career. And it has Nick Robinson in it, who's been in like a ton of stuff. So I liked it a lot. I gave it like a 3.5 out of 5. John, did you like it?
I liked it a lot too. Yeah. I gave it a what did I give it?
4?
I think I gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Give it a 4. Really good. I also saw Musica, which was another it was like another coming of age, but like as adults thing where this guy is like a puppeteer. And he has this like weird way of kind of, he can just see the world, but like every sound around him, he can create like a melody out of. And the whole movie is kind of like following the perspective of like inside his mind as how he sees the world. And he falls in love along the way. It's really kind of heartwarming.
Of course he does. Everyone just has to fall in love.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not going to be me, so I might as well watch 16 coming of age movies a week. Either way, it was great. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Nice. So what's this mystery mainstream boy thing?
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney.
So it's been a long time, and I think that this is something that I've wanted to do for quite a while. And I think I just want you guys to sit back and enjoy the intro.
In the arena of cinematic combat, where thousands of movies are filed away in the vaults of their minds, two titans clash. Armed with the knowledge of cinema, actors, and directors, they enter a battle of wits amidst the aroma of buttery stale popcorn and the stickiness of cherry cola.
Come on.
Their teeth caked in milk duds would require a jackhammer to pry them apart. With every frame of film etched in their memory, they dance on the edge of cinephile glory. It's the duck of directors facing off against the East Millinocket mastermind of horror movies. Embrace yourselves for the ultimate show night where movie history will be made. Movie Fight starts now.
Have you ever thought to go on Fiverr and just offer the service for fucking podcasts?
I have, actually. I think I'd be a really good podcast producer. What'd you guys fucking think of that?
I was overwhelmed. I kind of missed half the things that you said in it, but Movie Fights might get a season.
The guy who created it was canceled. And... We can take the name. We can call it something else.
He's back
later on.
Now. Popcorn Planet, right?
I like Popcorn Planet. Anyways, here's the rules, just so you guys know, because they're, I don't know if it's the same. We all know Movie Fights. It happened back in the early 2010s. Really fun concept made by Screen Junkies. We're bringing it back. We're doing it on the Those Movie Dudes podcast. I'm going to be your moderator, your unbiased moderator, as these two fight it out. But here's the rules. Two dudes are given a prompt in which they must form a cohesive argument in order to receive points from the unbiased moderator myself. The first dude to get 2 points wins the fight. Letterboxd is allowed, IMDb is allowed to help jog your memory when thinking of a movie or whatever it may be. When given a prompt, the dudes can shout out their choice at any time, first come, first serve. Each dude will be given 1 minute opening statement where they cannot mention the other dude's pick in their argument if you're the first one.
I'm shaking so bad right now, like not even funny.
Each dude will then get a 30-second rebuttal and finally a 30-second closing statement. The unbiased moderator will decide based solely on the argument who wins each round. If the moderator cannot pick a winner after the final round, if the game is tied, we will go to a sudden death lightning round. There will be 3 questions that dudes will have a 30-second opening, 30-second rebuttal. Dudes can mention the other choice in their opener in the lightning round. After the lightning round, the moderator will make the final call on who wins the fight.
Nate and I aren't very much fighters. Well, so
I'm so scared right now. I'm shaking. Like,
we will have a nice civil discussion.
Spencer, I don't mind. You win. I'm just going to let you know you win. Because this is so out of my element. This is like...
This is going
to
be...
All right, I'll try. I'll try.
Exactly. I'll try too. All right.
That's all that matters. It's all about trying. It's all about experimenting.
It really depends on the prompt for me.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens. All right.
And that's why the first question is going to be just to get you into the discussion elements. It's not something that you have to have any cinematic masterclass encyclopedia in your head. It's simple. It's all based on the argument. And it doesn't really have that much to do with film. Okay? Go ahead and put out your answer whenever you want. You can just shout it out. We are on an audio podcast. Here we go. This is your first prompt. What is the best non-traditional food to eat at the movies?
Because there's some that I'm thinking of that, like,
fine,
I wouldn't consider them traditional, but like, I've seen some theaters
like
that have
them. Stuff you couldn't buy at the concession stand.
Yeah, this is something that I guess that you could sneak in. Like, I've seen people sneak in Chinese food. What is the best thing that you could maybe bring from home to the theater that would be a good theater food? It's not popcorn. It's not like a fucking pretzel. It's not nachos. It's not something like that. It's something else. Nate, what would be your choice?
I would be totally down to just bring a big bag of McDonald's McDoubles
and just, hell yeah,
just offer them to people. You know what I mean? Just like, hey, you having a good time? Yeah, here's a McDouble. Oh, do you have one with no ketchup? Sorry, here's a McDouble. Like,
okay, all right. So you're passing these out of
McDonald's.
The theater. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Nate's going with a bag of McDonald's McDoubles.
So
specifically,
I would disagree with the McDoubles because I'm sorry.
No, this isn't the argument.
This is not the argument. You're just giving me your choice.
Well, fair enough. I'm forced to disagree, despite the fact that I would probably eat 5 McDoubles. Anyways,
I win.
I think I would pick a Ziploc bag of trail mix.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Trail mix for Spencer. All right. In a Ziploc bag. Trail mix. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and flip. There's something about Mary. You can go ahead and I'll let Spencer call it in the air. And then you can choose if you want to go first or second. Okay. Are you ready?
Is heads the cover?
Heads would be the cover, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
And what if it lands straight up?
Then you can fight at the exact same time and talk over each other.
Yeah.
All right, ready? Here we go. We're going to flip it. Call it in the air.
Heads.
It's heads.
So I go first. That I'd explain why I would pick Trail Mix over the doubles. No, you can
choose. Do you want to go first or second?
Yeah. The advantage really is going, would be going first.
Okay, I'll go second.
Okay. All right. You have 60 seconds starting whenever you start talking, I'm going to start the timer. Okay.
Andy Signor.
Whenever you start talking, what is the best non-traditional food to eat at the movies? Trail Mix. Starting now with your opening statement, please do not mention the double McDoubles in your opening statement. It's great for the audio listeners.
You can talk.
Can I talk, please? I need to like ask a question.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If yeah. Spencer isn't
gonna... I can't mention McDoubles.
No. Spencer cannot mention McDoubles in his opening statement.
I know, but I'm going first. That's why it was throwing me off.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so confused. Okay, yeah. Nate, you're going first. You can absolutely mention McDoubles. You cannot mention Trail Mix, though.
Okay, fair enough.
Whenever you start talking, I will start this timer right here. Moi.
So, McDoubles. Very cheap, very easy food. When you go to the movie theaters, you're probably going to be spending 20, 25, 30 bucks, depending on who you're with. But if you just go to McDonald's, spend 10 bucks, you know, you get some burgers. They're nice and hot. They're wrapped. That might be the one flaw, but you've got a ton of them. Those McDonald's bags do, as I've seen throughout my years of eating McDonald's, they do keep stuff rather warm. And then once you get to the sandwich itself, it's not loud. The loudest part of it might be the pickles or you throwing the wrapper back in the bag. But the thing is you get a lot of bang for your buck. And plus, if you want to be a nice person, you can share with people around you, get yourself a nice community of McDonald's loving movie watchers. And then you've got good food. You're full. You're excited. You're in the movie mood. Drop the mic.
Did I hear that? Hopefully not.
I did not.
Wow. Phenomenal opening argument by Nate talking about McDoubles. I accidentally wrote it under Spencer's name in my notes, but that's okay. Spencer, are you ready to make your opening argument?
And about... I can't mention McDoubles at all.
Nope. You can't mention McDoubles in your opening argument. That you can talk about that in your rebuttal and your closing statement, though.
Fair enough.
Whenever you begin talking, you can go ahead and talk about why Trail Mix is the best non-traditional food to eat at the movie theater.
I would say that Trail Mix is the best non-traditional food to eat at the theater because, one, a bag is like $7, so you can, you know, reuse it a lot. You can keep on loading up the Ziploc bag and keep taking it to different movies and keep eating it. It's sweet. It's salty. You get some fruit. You get some nuts. You get some chocolate. You kind of get a variety of everything you kind of want. It's not going to smell either because when you are in the theater, the last thing you want is someone to open up a big stinky thing of food and just eat it. I mean, for my time, I've seen movies in Boston when crowds had no regard for anybody else. They would just bring in the grossest food and it would just stink up the whole theater and kind of take me out of the experience. So Trail Mix is not going to do that. Plus you can easily conceal it in a pocket and it's delicious. I mean, who doesn't like a good bag of Trail Mix every now and then? Cause you can just get everything you need. And plus, I mean, there's a lot of variety of Trail Mix. I mean, you can do like a hiker's blend or some like a fruit blend or a chocolatey blend. So you can kind of pick however you want to experience a Trail Mix at the theater.
Wow. Some really strong opening arguments from you guys. Awesome. Nate, I'm going to go ahead and give you your, did I say minute long rebuttal or 30? I think it's a 30 second rebuttal. Let me double check.
I think 30 seconds is all we need.
30 second rebuttal, 30 second closer. That way you can, you know, respond to the rebuttal. Awesome. Yeah. Really good opening, guys. Nate.
Okay.
Yep. Nate, whenever you're ready, you can do your 30 second rebuttal.
Okay, so I do not believe that Trail Mix would be a very good choice at all. Sure, you can conceal it very well, but a lot of the Trail Mixes that I've seen, they got a lot of crunch to them. So I guess it's up to the person to make their own Trail Mix or to pick one that's probably more quiet. You don't want any with like Chex or anything like that in it, which is why I think a burger would be nice. It's nice and hot. I don't think it smells too bad. You do get that little bit McDonald's smell, but people like McDonald's. And I think just trail mix is just kind of a trashy way to take it in.
I love it. Trashy way to take it in.
It is very trashy. McDonald's isn't, though? Okay. All right. No, they're not. I can't say anything. I'm not allowed to say anything. Okay. Spencer, your 30-second rebuttal whenever you're ready.
Yeah. I think we all know that once you buy the McDonald's at the drive-thru, you get to the theater, you smuggle it in, you sit down, it's going to be lukewarm by the time you unwrap it and eat it. Unless you're going to plan to finish them before the trailers end, no one's going to want a cold McDonald's burger in the middle of the theater. So I just don't think that McDonald's is the way to go for that. And it's just, I mean, it's gross. It's going to smell. I mean, everyone's going to hear you just munch on it. And plus, the most traditional movie snacks at the theater have crunch to it. Popcorn, all this, the candies. I mean, it's
common. Wow. Okay. Very good rebuttals from both of you. Excited to hear your closing statements on our first question here. Nate, whenever you're ready.
So I don't think McDonald's is very loud at all. I think it's actually perfect. I don't necessarily want a really hot sandwich while I'm in the theater, because if it gets too hot, then it could distract me from the movie that's going on. Lukewarm, everything has time to set. It's one nice sandwich. You don't have to worry about it getting on you. If you have plenty left over, make it a community thing. Share it. Give a McDouble to someone sitting by you. It doesn't always have to be just McDoubles, but like, I think it's just better than trail mix. It's not as loud. It's less wasteful. And
time's up. All right, Spencer, with your 30-second closing statement.
When it comes to movie theater snacks, it's not really about loud that matters. I mean, they wouldn't sell popcorn if they did. And that's why I think McDonald's is all about the aroma and the smell. And McDonald's, no matter what you get, it's going to smell up the theater. And with trail mix, I mean, it's just the variety's there. You kind of can choose what you want. If you don't want the raisins, you can just leave them on the bottom of the bag and just go for the cashews instead. If you just want the M&Ms, you can just do that too. There's choices that you have in your bag there. With McDonald's, you just get this big bite of lukewarm meat and cheese and bread and pickles. It's just like, oh, who fucking wants that in the middle of a theater as you're trying to watch Zendaya ride a sandworm?
Nate, I fucked up not resetting the time or like starting the timer right away. So if you want another 10 seconds.
I noticed I had more time. That's why.
Yeah. I'll allow you 10 more seconds to make a point if you feel the need.
I don't know if I have enough of a rebuttal to that to win, but I'll if you give me 10 seconds, I'll try.
I'm going to give you 10 more seconds just to make it fair.
It's a familiar taste, a familiar smell. I think there's other things that they sell at movie theaters that smell too. Popcorn included, that being a big one, but just it's a burger. It's nice.
Okay. It's a burger. It's nice. Man, gosh. That you guys, you came out to play. You guys said you're not fighters. I beg to differ.
There's an obvious level of expertise when it comes to this.
I don't know, man. I really think that both of you guys gave very strong opening arguments. I think Nate, you saying that, you know, the bag isn't loud, you know, the food, it's a quiet food. When you actually bite into it, it's a very quiet food. You're not hearing any crunching unless maybe there's a crunchy bacon on it, but that's not a McDouble. So and here's the thing, you said this yourself, when you do eat it, you're gonna be full. Trail mix, you might still be hungry at the end of the day. But Spencer, you did also have some very good points in your opening statement. Easily concealable, you can walk in there, no problem, no one's gonna see it, you know, it's not gonna smell, it basically smells like nothing, and you get the sweet and salty variety. So for me, it did really come down to your rebuttals and your closing arguments. Nate, you said that, you know, Chex Mix does have a lot of crunch and a burger is hot and soft. So but Spencer came in with it can be lukewarm by the time you get there. Another great point. It absolutely could be, but it depends on preference, as Nate responded by saying that maybe you don't want a steaming hot burger by the time you get to the theater.
Did I say that?
Oh, you did. Oh, cool. You did say that. Maybe not in those exact words, but one nice sandwich. And at the end of the day, you know, Spencer's only real criticism to Nate was that it doesn't smell great, and you came back and said, you know what, a lot of people like the smell of McDonald's, and I kind of have to agree with you. I think that, you know, it's an unconventional choice, and to be fair, they do kind of sell trail mix in the theater, so I am gonna give this opening question to Nate.
Job well done.
try to be
Toast House.
Toast House.
Toast House. All right. All right. So you into it.
I see it playing out a little differently. But I will say
very close. It came down to 1 or 2 points. Truly, truly, you guys all made fantastic arguments. So I really appreciate it.
I've never
only argument with the
you what?
I've never brought trail mix or bought trail mix or had trail mix in a theater.
Nate, have you brought
only
me doubles
thing
to the theater?
I would say would be considered trail mix at a theater is when you put the candy in the popcorn. I think that's like the only trail mix type thing. If you would call that trail mix, it's just
they definitely don't sell
candy.
Trail mix anywhere where I go, but
might be an AMC.
I've seen like Snow Caps, Sour Patch Kids. You could make trail mix with everything.
It was either that or Cheddar Chex Mix, but I figured I'd have more to talk about with trail mix.
Again, it was very close. I think you guys both made very strong arguments for your choice.
We both went in very different directions, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Spencer went practical. I went, oh, I'm really hungry right now. What do I want?
Exactly.
I also remember cleaning the theater for Ant-Man, and it reeked of McDonald's, and there's McDonald's bags everywhere. I'm like, fuck people who bring in McDonald's to this theater. But
I think does McDonald's reek?
Yeah. Well, it didn't smell fucking good. Yeah. Smell like fucking old meat.
I think that's just the old meaty people that are eating them.
Could be.
You think it's the smell of the human being, not the food?
How many are there? Because I don't know if I have, I think I might have another one in me. I don't know if I have a whole bunch left.
Well, it depends on who wins the next round here.
Okay.
Wait, there's more rounds?
That's what he's saying.
Oh,
he's
dude. It's
more.
It's best 2 out of 3. So if you win the next round, you win. Yeah.
Oh, I was on cloud 9 for a second. Now I'm fucked.
It wasn't just one question. No, what are you guys crazy? Oh. Jesus.
It might need to be one question going forth, though. Because I don't know.
It was 10 minutes. I told you beforehand it could be 30 to 45 minutes. And you were like, okay, we'll
cut
out.
You're not the one fighting here. It takes a lot of stamina.
Hey, man, I've done a lot of fights, but it wasn't about movies. So here we go. And I lost all of them, by the way. Either way, don't call Big Will fat. Either way, let's go. Everybody, going into question number two, what is the most overrated movie to be released in the last 10 years? IMDb, Letterboxd, Rotten Tomatoes, all more than allowed to jog your memories. Get a few facts along the way. As long as the argument's there, that is all that matters. And also, Spencer, you will be starting. Should be a few that come to mind.
Oh, okay. I've got mine.
Okay. You want to shout it out?
Sure.
What do you got?
I'm going to go with Avatar, The Way of Water.
Wow. Okay. Nate going with the James Cameron much anticipated sequel to Avatar, The Way of Water.
Not saying it's bad, just saying overrated.
Overrated. Yeah, that's the question. It's all about the spirit of the question. I do think in the future, this could potentially be a whole episode.
I think I just have to pick a year and just try to find a movie because there's too many.
There's a lot of movies. Are you guys okay with your nicknames? The East Millinocket Mastermind of Horror Movies?
I'll take it. I don't live in East Millinocket, but that's where I went to high school, so I'll take it.
Perfect. And Spencer's the Duck of Directors, which doesn't need to make sense. It just is.
Okay. I got one, but
all right.
I think I just have to pick it for time. I'm going to go with the movie that won Best Director a couple of years ago, and it almost won Best Picture, Roma.
Ooh, okay. Spencer arguing for Roma, Nate, Avatar, The Way of Water. Fucking powerhouse matchup right here. Spencer, you may take it away whenever you so choose. The timer starts and you begin talking.
Roma is just 2 hours and 15 minutes of Oscar bait bullshit. It's just long shots of this woman cleaning up dog poop from a hallway, and it's just meaningless characters. Just nothing really is going on in the movie. And finally, when some intriguing stuff does happen, it's way too late. The audience has already kind of trailed off. It came out on Netflix. I mean, people probably pressed the 10-second forward button a whole bunch of times just to kind of get through it. It won Best Director. Like, really? It won 3 Oscars? There's no way. I mean, the fact that people thought that this was going to win Best Picture is just ridiculous. It's definitely Alfonso Cuarón's most boring, kind of just nothing movie. Sure, it's kind of inspired by his own life, but that's just too personal. It doesn't really work on a large format for people consuming this movies at home. And yeah, just the fact that it did win Best Supporting Actress, I mean, sure, she was fine, but I mean, I think she took the Oscar from so many other people that probably deserved it that year. And yeah, he should have won for other stuff. And oh well.
All right, and that is time. All right, Nate, whenever you're ready for your opening argument for Avatar The Way of Water.
So we waited 13 years, basically 13 years from one of the greatest directors of all time to give us basically the same movie that we saw in 2009, years later. The only difference to it was that they had a different tribe. I get it takes a long time for the special effects and everything, but at least take some time to like build on the story a little bit. I didn't really care about the family that too much because they were all dealing with the same stuff, trying to hide from the same villain. And just the fact that it took this long to make it, and I was so underwhelmed. And the fact that they're like questioning even moving forward. There's just Sam Worthington's just flat. He's bland. The villains in it is just the same old thing from the first one where they try to destroy everything that's near and dear to them. The only cool thing about it is the fact that they have water in it. But it's still Pandora. It's just as bland. It's an hour and a half, way too long. And I hope they just cut it off there.
Okay. All right. Fabulous opening arguments from you both about your films. Spencer, whenever you are ready for your 30-second rebuttal.
Question?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I am trying to explain why he's wrong about Avatar, The Way of the Water.
Yeah, you would say that, like, if you... In your rebuttal, you would still argue for your movie, but you can also give points.
Oh, so I can talk about Roma.
Oh, yeah. You can talk about Roma, and you can talk about how he's wrong about his choice as well, if you would like.
Okay, I'm good. All right, so basically, I mean, if I was going to choose, if I was going to watch Roma or Avatar Way of the Water, I would pick Avatar Way of the Water 100 times over and over again, because at least it's a visual spectacle with Avatar. James Cameron is always about pushing this, like, the cinema movement forward and kind of elevating cinema as we know it, and that's why he waited so long with Avatar 2. It's why the visual spectacle is so intense and so crazy. With Roma, yeah, sure, it's going to inspire the next generation of just people who just want to make Oscar bait bullshit of people cleaning shit with a mop for 20 minutes for one long take. Avatar at least is exciting.
Okay. I don't even remember that scene. All right. And Nate, whenever you're ready for your 30-second rebuttal.
The fact that you're saying Roma is Oscar bait bullshit, I think, is completely invalid. It's when a director is able to take it really personally and put his own flair into it. I think that's what makes it unique and makes it more necessary for the film lovers like us. With Avatar, we've seen 3D movies. We've seen all the special effects. We've seen all this stuff done before. I don't care. I'm there for the story. Roma gave a personal story with heartbreak and some real uplifting stuff. Sure, there was some long stuff, but that's what movies are for. They're there to help you appreciate different stuff.
Beautiful. I fucked up the timer again.
I looked at the three and I was like, crap, I have a longer thought.
All good. That's what the closing statement is for. Fuck. Spencer, whenever you are ready for your closing statement.
But yeah, when you go to movies, you want a sense of escapism and not just sit at home on your couch and watch Roma, where it's you're watching a woman do a whole bunch of household chores where you could just do it yourself. I mean, you want to go and see someone ride a sea dragon, and it's about James Cameron and personal flair and touch. We've seen the 3D movies. Yeah, of course, only because of James Cameron. He's the one that kind of created this whole genre and brought it out that a lot of other filmmakers have misused, but he is still coming back every, I guess, 12 years to reinvent the genre. Roma is just a woman doing chores. Like, who wants to watch that?
Okay, Nate, whenever you're ready for your closing statement.
I don't think James Cameron kind of moved the genre forward at all. If anything, he just produced the same old over CGI bullshit with the same characters, the same villains, the same ups and downs, the same pacing, which was dreadfully slow, especially when you get to the third act, where Roma actually takes place in a time that the director can relate with and helps you to relate with a normal person that we wouldn't look at any day and kind of appreciate the stuff that they do behind the scenes, where James Cameron just sits in his submarine 10,000 feet underwater, masturbates, and makes the same bullshit.
Factually incorrect, but comedically fantastic.
And you know what? Comedy does
I didn't know what
show.
The depth was. I was like,
comedy absolutely 10, counts.
Yeah.
Jesus, man. Another great round, you guys. I'm really impressed.
Spencer, when you start throwing in the swears, that's when I feel like, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's
Did
swear.
I swear?
Sorry. It's only when you say Oscar bait bullshit. That's the okay. That's what gets me. I'm like, okay, cool.
I didn't even know I said that.
So, yeah. Okay. Multiple times.
Oh man. I mean, that was the foundation of your argument, was the fact that she cleaned shit off the floor and it's Oscar bait bullshit. You said it four times. And to be honest, I was kind of hoping for more reasons behind why Roma is overrated. I think that Nate did give me quite a few, saying, you know, that it's underwhelming, that Sam Worthington is flat, bland, and annoying. The movie's too long. He also said that, you know, that Roma's actually more of a personal story. So, you know, maybe it's not for everybody, whereas Avatar The Way of Water has a lot of 3D special effects, and even 13 years later, it's nothing new. And he's right in saying that the story is kind of just a rehash minus the water. So yeah, Spencer, I do struggle to give you this point just purely because, yes, Roma is Oscar bait bullshit, but I needed more in your argument. So I think I'm going to have to give this one an 8.
Okay, fair enough.
As the champion of movie fights number one on Those Movie News Podcast.
It was an honor, my friend.
I actually, for the it was an honor. Okay. I was going to say, for the record, I actually enjoy Roma. I've never seen Avatar Way of the Water. So.
Wow, that's crazy. I never would have thought.
I just had to pick a movie and Roma showed up. And I'm like, oh yeah, it was kind of slow. It's the only thing I remembered is her just cleaning poop for 20 minutes in a one shot. But I don't know. I think I do kind of disagree. I mean, I think I did mention that like the supporting actress won the Oscar and kind of took it from the other nominees. But you know, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm not a huge Avatar fan, but I was hoping it would be this forward, grand spectacle. You know. And I was just like the whole thing with the ship sinking. I'm like, oh, you're really going to go under there and save
Titanic.
Gadara.
Well,
I've seen it, so I don't know.
Titanic.
I haven't seen Avatar Way of the Water, so I don't know what scene you're referencing, but one of his kids die or something.
No,
I think one of his kids dies, so it's okay.
Spencer likes to watch movies, likes to go on YouTube and look at full spoiler reviews of stuff.
That's just for Marvel. That's just for Marvel TV shows, because I'm not fucking spending 8 hours watching Echo.
I get that.
And fucking She-Hulk and all the other bullshit that gets released.
Iron Fist and Jessica Jones.
I fucking care, but like I'll listen to a 10-minute recap. Be like, okay, yeah, that sounds. Yeah, I'm glad I saved my time.
I mean, that's
thank you, heavy spoilers on YouTube. Paul, he's a great guy. Anyways,
thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul.
When you see the new movies, you're like, oh, okay, I get that. And I didn't have to spend 40 hours of my life learning about it.
I enjoyed She-Hulk.
You mean Shulk?
Kevin Feige has a gun pointed at my head from across the room right now. I just want you guys to know that.
There's a red laser dot on your head, but oh well.
Gone. But yeah, that was the first movie fights. Nate's with the Queen Sweep coming through. I think he actually won trivia last week, 2-4-0. So yeah, it's been a great time. Team Nate right now. It's a tough spot to be in. I'd be happy to fight at one point, but I'm also happy to make the questions. I have another like 15 ready to go for next time, but I enjoyed it. Hope you guys did. Movie fights. TMD.
Cool. That scene made Nathan cry the hardest in the theater. Brendan Fraser squirts a whole tube of ranch on his pizza.
Makes me hungry, if you ask me. I'm pretty hungry right now just thinking about it.
Ha! For the three people listening and John's mom, if you guys are curious about our famous segment,
first time watches, are you watching with us? We're those movie dudes, and we about to discuss.
Well, we're not about to discuss, because it's going to be its own separate weekly podcast that Nate and I at least will be there every episode. John's going to make appearances when he can. He's a busy boy, and he also elects not to watch movies until the very last minute, and it's just there's no point to even cover them at that point. So we're going to at least have him appear when he needs to, and appears when he at least has some interest in the movie pick of the week. But if you guys do follow our Instagram at Those Movie Dudes, there'll be hopefully some more social engagement with like voting on what we get to pick and what we're going to be watching. Because Nate and I, I'm sure, will pick a whole bunch of movies. And when John does choose to appear, and maybe he can throw in his picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to tell them?
Are what we the first episode's going to be?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Nate, why don't you let them know?
So this was Spencer's pick, I believe, that we had to choose through. And it is a little film from foreign film director Wong Kar-wai. Criterion fans will recognize him for like Chungking Express, Fallen Angels. But this one is arguably his most well-liked, his most famous movie, In the Mood for Love, starring Maggie Cheung. Nice little love story, some romance, a little unconventional, but we will be talking about that on the very first episode.
Oh yeah.
Wow. So, love. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah, it is maybe currently streaming on Max. That's HBO for those old generation people. So yeah, give it a watch and come back to the episode, which will probably be out sometime next week. So yeah, In the Mood for Love.
In the Mood for Love, baby.
And if John does watch it by then, you'll join us. If not, no worries.
We'll make it. It'll be like surprise.
If it doesn't join us, well then F you.
This is like the opposite of when we did Mainstream Boys, where it was like a surprise if Nate joined and the John Cena music played. Now it'll be the Mainstream Boy music.
Mainstream Boy.
Maybe I'll be.
All of a sudden we'll just hear.
And I'll be grittying in the background. I'm just like, oh shit, not again.
One of the times when you do it, you have to fall down. That would be very funny if you were grittying, looking at
my head off the side of my fucking coffee table and bleeding. My cat has to go to the hospital. Yeah, we're
like, John, what'd you think of this movie?
2 out of 5.
So what? Our next episode for the flagship TMD will be I don't know.
The
22nd, technically. No, 29th? Yeah, 29th. I don't know. It'll be towards the end of April. It'll be towards the end of April. In particular, let's just wait until Challengers comes out. I want to see Challengers. And then whatever comes out in between then, try to,
you know, I'll
try
see
to watch. Watch so. Stuff on Netflix or Prime, whatever comes out for new releases. And look out for the In the Mood for Love. First time watches Those Movie Dudes Movie Club. Coming soon.
I'll be seeing Abigail.
Bingo.
Take care, everybody. See you next time at Those Movie Dudes. I'm going to see Abigail, baby.
Oh, God.
Aaron Nemiroff said it was good, so I'm going to
be it's a really vampire fun. Ballerina.
I've heard it's fun. It's fun. No. I mean, Nate could go see Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, because John seems to be highly praising it.
I also want to see that... I forgot what's it called. It's like a Spanish movie with Tilda Swinton in it, where she plays like
Problemista?
The devil. Yes, that one. Problemista.
Oh, that was playing at the main film fest or main film center where you were seeing Days of Heaven.
Yeah.
4K remastered.
Yeah.
How was
we lasted longer than our outro.
No, we never do that. Well, anyways, guys.
It's replayed. Hey, we're almost at 137. Hold on. How was your Days of Heaven?
Oh, it was freaking awesome. I was probably the youngest person in that theater by at least 40 years.
And I'm sure you enjoyed it the most out of everybody else.
And it's just like Railroad Square. Like, there was probably 35 chairs, really, really small. I'm looking up like this the whole time. But it was awesome.
For one of your favorite movies of all time, seeing it on the big screen in a 4K remaster, I think that's pretty badass.
Anybody like fall asleep next to you? Anybody fall asleep?
Oh, God. Everyone was attentive. Like, and there were even people after the movie talking about how beautiful the photography was and how it was life-changing. And I want to be like, shut the fuck up. I'm here to watch this awesome movie. Like, shut up.
Seriously.
Fair enough.
Like, let me love this. They're
going to stroke 5 minutes after they leave the theater at 80 years old.
Let me love this. All right, there's 137.
Perfect. All right.
See y'all next time.
Toodaloos.